The Angry Chicken Hearthstone podcast is produced by Amove.tv. Check out Amove.tv for more podcasts covering Blizzard games. For more of Jocelyn's gaming podcasts, visit JossPlays.com. And to find many more podcasts with Ridiculous Hat, follow at Ridiculous Hat on Twitter. Every episode of TAC is made possible thanks to our legendary patrons over at patreon.com/TAC.
Time's up. Let's do this. You beast, Deroxys. You smell like a leper gnome.
I knew it.
So hot.
A podcast about Hearthstone and Battlegrounds. This is The Angry Chicken.
Greetings and welcome back, everyone, to episode 420 of The Angry Chicken. You know what that means.
Blaze it!
I was going to say it means we've done 419 episodes before this one. That's what it means.
That obviously. So, obviously. Yeah.
You can both be right.
Well, I would like to be right because I was very wrong about a lot of things last week. I may have been Rindling's rightful, but I am Gaff Rune Totem after last week's episode.
Wow. Okay. We need Hat. I love you, but I think you've had a terrible, terrible influence on Garrett. Like, what is going on?
Okay. There is nothing about any humor I brought to the show that could have contributed to the things that just came out of his mouth. I refuse to take responsibility for the depths that we went to there. And I understand that I belabored the point. And there are even some puns in the show notes, but like, Rendling's rightful? That's just embarrassing to all of us.
All right, here's what we're going to do. You come up with a good pun today. I'm going to slap it on a shirt. I'm going to slap Rendling's rightful on a shirt. We'll see what shirt sells more, and a victor will be crowned.
Well, that's not fair. You're a graphic designer. I feel like Hat might need some help.
That's true. You can design both shirts. With all that free time you have.
I haven't introduced any of us, by the way. Hi, I'm Garrett. She's Joss. He's Hat. Hi. We're here to do The Angry Chicken. Yeah. Hi, y'all. How are you all doing? It feels like it's been forever, even though we've done the normal amount of shows, but we did an episode right when the patch dropped, which was earlier than usual. And then the next week hit and we're like, yeah, we're just let that be. And I missed y'all. How y'all been? What have you been dying to on ladder and making you cuss since the since the patch hit?
Just for me, and I don't know why, but Mage. Mage. Just
I haven't even seen a mage.
Yeah, I've seen so many mages. And they just aren't fun. I've seen some trying to do hero power things, some trying to do freezy things. All of those things are not fun for me.
Okay, fine. You're making me pull up my. I'm almost certain I haven't seen a single mage. I'm pulling up my damn backtracker. But that's interesting. I think I've seen more Demon Hunter than anything else.
They're definitely around.
And I'll be able to verify in a moment once my deck tracker opens. I don't think I've lost to a single Demon Hunter. I don't think I've lost any of them.
Have you actually been playing?
I haven't played anything except Elemental Shaman, to just revel in my wrongness, of the previous episode when I said, and someone tweeted this at me to really rub it in, I don't think Elementals are there yet, I believe was the quote that left my lips.
Well, they weren't there the day we recorded. They were there the next day.
Thanks, Hat. Thank you so much.
I am sure that your consolation prize is the win rate of one of the best decks in Standard. So my sympathy is somewhat limited.
It's solid for sure. It's a good deck. But as for what's killing me, Warrior and Priest are causing me some pain.
They'll do that. Priest is I know that I have this written later, but all of the complaints about Ticketus Warlock seem to have evaporated. I have heard very, very few.
That's because Mutanus ate Ticketus, and now we're complaining about Mutanus.
Well, complaining about Priest specifically, the amount of Priest complaints has skyrocketed. There are Anduin Stonks, Tyrande Stonks, But Ticketus, nowhere to be heard or found or seen. Interesting how that works.
Yeah. That's because Priest is kind of like finding success again. And whenever Priest finds success, and it's not with Dragon Priest, we all complain. We all get out our complaining hat, which I understand you considered that as a moment for your handle and decided you were just too analytical.
No, that's me at work, is complaining hat. That's what I...
Oh, complaining hat. Oh, okay.
That's my daytime.
Oh, gotcha. All right. Yeah. Yep. That's me behind the lawnmower. That's me behind the lawnmower.
Well, and also, Garrett, I understand that you're the host, but I want to spin it back to you. How's your week been, buddy?
It's fine. I don't want to talk about it. I had a long, sad week. If you follow me on Twitter, you know, we dealt with some, real dark family tragedy last week. And I appreciate all the kind words. I'm here to make wiener jokes, and laugh with my friends.
All right, here we go. Bring on the wieners.
I'm
just
going
to update the title now. Bring on the wieners. Okay, I fill that in. We're going to have to beat that, and odds are long.
Yeah, it was a rough week. I want no sympathy. I want my friends on this podcast to make fun of me like normal, and we'll talk about cards and stuff.
We can do that. We can be here.
That's my desire. That's my deepest desire right now. So,
and to answer your question, I don't think there's been a particular boogeyman that I've been losing to. I've seen a lot of like gibberlings and stuff. A lot of tokeny druids that have been doing tokeny.
That's what I've been playing.
How's that? It's good.
Bastard.
It's good.
See, it tends to beat Demon Hunter, and that makes me really happy. So I lose a lot to everybody else, but I beat Demon Hunters, so thumbs up.
I have news for you. Maybe I don't have news for you, because I haven't verified this with anything even passing as factual information, but I feel like a lot of things beat Demon Hunter. I don't know, but
everything beats Demon Hunter except the things that lose to Demon Hunter.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, coming out of the whatever paladin you want to play is probably a good bet meta. That I'm pretty skewed when I go to any website and look at kind of matchups, you know, coming out of the previous paladin meta and looking at certain paladin archetypes that had positive win rates against almost every single known archetype. But you know, I look at Death Rattle Demon Hunter right now, you know, I'm seeing a lot of red and orange numbers. So it seems fine. And I know they're considered like a top deck at the moment, but
yeah, I think it's near the top. It's definitely not like the best deck in the format right now, but I think that they're I'm still actually not 100% sure that it's kind of like figured out at this point, because there's these like there's a few different like variants of it that I've been seeing, and a lot of different I don't know if you even want to call them tech cards, but just like a lot of different choices in the same realm. So I feel like maybe they're still going to be on the rise.
Garrett, if you change that filter on the left to Diamond Through Legend, what does that look like? I'm curious.
I am changing it to Diamond Through Legend. There it is.
Okay.
It's pretty consistent.
It's okay.
Pretty consistent. It's,
I mean,
this is terrible for an audio podcast, but
So Death Rattle Demon Hunter is actually doing like it's doing okay, but I mean, think about it. We're 10 days into an expansion, right? And so Joss, you're right. It's not even tech cards isn't the right thing. Decklists haven't really stabilized yet. There are a few that are more straightforward. Like if you look at, for example, Elemental Shaman, you go to your collection, you type in the word elemental, you click until you're out of cards, and then you add probably Alex. And that's your deck. Much like you do with decks in this format, you know, there are options. Do you play Wackanol Hammer or Doom Hammer? Usually they're going Wackanol at this point. Do you play Brucon or no? Do you play Lightning Blooms? But most of the cards are pretty stable. You have a pretty good idea of what you want to play. But when you look at something like Death Rattle Demon Hunter, you actually have more cards than you can fit in a deck that you want to try out. And so, you know, it's get definitely more interesting. A lot of the newer cards have really helped out. Fel Rattler is awesome. Devouring Ectoplasm, the 3/2 that drops out a little adventure, is pretty good. And so there are
I love that card is back, and I know we talked about it being like a diet shredder last week. I didn't realize like how much that would really, really feel like Shredder. And also more so the nostalgia that it would like bring with it. Even it's like, it's not a Shredder, but God, it really feels like I'm playing against Shredders back in the old, next round? No, GVG
days. Back in our days.
Yeah.
Back in my day, whippersnappers, how you doing? I don't know what that was. Also, other hosts on the call with me, I did just shift an entire topic up to the top since we're kind of talking about this topic. So, hey, real-time makes podcast manipulation. We can do it. We have the power. But, that card's doing real well. I've run into a weird amount of Death Rattle Demon Hunters, and I've also run into a subsection of Death Rattle Demon Hunters that drop their nesting Death Rattles with nothing to follow it up. So I feel like I'm learning bad things, which is I just start popping them all the time because nothing happens.
You got to shoot your shot, right? Like if you're the Demon Hunter, you got to shoot your shot. You got to put it out there, and then sometimes they take 3 damage. And sometimes they don't trade. Sometimes they trade and you're like, well, I got nothing, but thanks for playing. And I don't know. That's just how
it is. That's fair. That's a good point. And I think we had this discussion like 2 weeks ago, which is like pretty basic strategy, but we got on the subject of something we haven't talked about in a long time, which is, you know, sometimes it's okay when your stuff gets removed because then they used removal.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And if you've been playing Elemental Shaman, that's not a great matchup for Death Rattle Demon Hunter because of Lurky Boy. Because of Lilypad Lurker being both A, silence
adorable.
And removal and transformation, B, adorable,
oh.
And C, very large. It's a 5/6. It's so big.
It is. It feels almost like the type of minion that should be like more like attack heavy and health light because of it, the utility it brings with its battle cry.
It's perfect the way it is. Nobody touch it. It should be played everywhere, and everyone should have 2 golden copies because the little frog stuck in the water elemental is adorable, and I love it.
I mean, I just like the design of the card, but it also is a major bonus that the illustration is also great and adorable.
you can both win.
Yeah,
you both get what you want.
If y'all remember, like, you were here, you were a permanent fixture at this point. When we were talking about Lilypad Lurker going into this set, I was stoked as can be. And then the set dropped and Shaman went nowhere.
Yeah.
It was also a 4/5 back then.
Yeah, he did get buffed too,
that
right?
Is fair. So that is fair.
We didn't have important cards like all of the new Shaman cards. It's Vapor and Dungeoneer are like really, really good. Strangely enough, when you print targeted card draw in a class, the class improves in win rate. I know you're all waiting for a salient point. That's the end of it.
Yeah, and they still had Custodian. So you're like target drawing
multiple kinds of things. Yeah,
you're getting your weapon. You're dropping your Dungeoneer. Then the Dungeoneer, like, it's fine really whenever. Like, it's good mid game. It's good late game. You're just getting stuff out of your deck that is useful to you, and it's wonderful. I'm really happy about this deck, and I feel like it was tailor made to bring me joy. I do feel it's a little straightforward, and I can understand some of the folks that are maybe a little grumbly about it.
I'll use the phrase sequence heavy. That's the phrase I'm going to use. It's very sequential, right? It's maybe even prescribed. But there's nothing wrong with the cool deck that gives you a really clear plan. And you don't have to play on curve. Like, you can save your Kindling Elemental. If you're going to play a 2-drop on 2 anyways, save that Kindling Elemental. Keep your Elemental chain going. Because it does feel like you have to plan ahead as to when you let the chain drop and then when you start it back up again. Because if you miss, then your lurker sits in hand for 2 turns, and then you get hit by the thing you want to lurk, and then that's not good. But sometimes you just save that Kindling Elemental, you play it with a couple mana floating, and you're like, I'm the smartest player in the world.
The other thing that has crossed my mind is that I actually don't think Paladin left. It just transformed into Shaman, because if you miss Crab Rider, you can just Arid Stormer now, and it will probably stick because it has a butt ton of health.
Yeah.
And if you got coin, boy, does it curve nicely into the weapon that buffs its attack, and then it has Wind Fury and life. Your opponent starts to question their life decisions.
I haven't played too much of this deck, but I don't know. I think Shaman has been down long enough. I feel that I'm kind of okay with them coming back and coming back in a way that we haven't necessarily had in a while. Like, we haven't had to chain elementals in any class who wants to chain elementals in a really long time. So I kind of feel like this is okay. It may seem straightforward, but again, like, not every deck has to be like big galaxy brain. Like, Face Hunter has some decisions, but it's not giant galaxy brain either. Like, I think we can have stuff that makes you think a lot. We can have stuff that's a little bit more straightforward, and, you know, like, that gives players more options for, you know, the way they want to play.
That might be where my kind of sense of nostalgia is coming from, is because a lot of the decks I've been seeing, and you look at the decks that are on top, like, because Face Hunter is right there underneath Elemental Shaman in terms of its kind of general win rate.
And it's still the same.
What's the word you use? That? Sequential. These are both relatively sequential decks. I guess what I'm getting, I'm going to go back to my...
Face Hunter, I think that there's a lot of options. Because your cards are universally so cheap, your choice of what to do on turns 1 through 3 is actually quite variant. You'll use all your mana. You'll play a bunch of cheap stuff, but it's not going to be quite the same. Whereas Elemental Shaman, I think, is very clear. You want to go 1 into this 2-mana card, into this 3-mana card. But if you play straight on curve, your opponent also knows exactly what you're doing every single turn. And that's easy enough for them to deal with minimal practice and experience.
That's fair. I guess, so I'm going to go back to my word then, which is straightforward. maybe not so much sequential. I think there's a lot of kind of straightforward aggro to mid-range decks right now. And then there's also, like, what feel like classic control decks, like Control Warrior is back. And I'm still seeing Rush Warrior, which still has a lot of control tools. And I think bringing it back to that kind of that sense of nostalgia that I've been trying to explain to myself, like, why does this feel kind of old school to me? And I think that's why, at least in my little, you know, corner of the meta, I'm seeing a lot of Face Hunter, Death Rattle Demon Hunter, Elemental Shaman, but I'm also seeing Control Warrior, and it feels like early Hearthstone days to me.
And do we think that's by design? I think, right? Like, this is very much the Hearthstone set where they introduced Hearthstone, like, the classic ladder with this expansion, but also they're bringing us back to some very classic archetypes where Secret Paladin, Librem is basically a mid-range paladin with books. So, like, whatever. Close enough. And
no, not close enough. I want Dude Paladin back. Give it to me now.
They tried. They made so many dude cards, and then they just didn't dude enough. Like, yeah. It's more like Duty Paladin, huh? We'll put that on the shirt.
Oh, yeah. They put the dude in duty. For sure.
Yeah.
That's so much harsher. I just want Dude Paladin to be a thing. This is my kind request. Don't give up on Dude Paladin. It's a kind request.
I'm hoping for more. But it's a lot of what they did feels like it's very much designed to evoke some older archetypes and older cards in particular. I mean, think about Ectoplasm versus Shredder. I think that's very intentional of bringing us back to a lot of what we remember about Hearthstone, but I've actually played a little bit of Classic this week because Miracle Rogue is disgusting and I really want to get more of that in my veins. And, you know, when you Azure Drake prep Blade Flurry to kill a board of 5 health minions and then Cold Blood your other Azure Drake and hit for 8, like, it's a feeling. But you go back and you play that format, you have a lot of minions, you just play that turn, and then your opponent trades into them and you have nothing. And so this is a more modern version that where Rush actually means if you're behind on board, you can still play the game and come back eventually ever. But the archetypes that we're seeing are not really huge departures from Hearthstone's past, outside of, well, Demon Hunter didn't exist, so obviously Demon Hunter. And they're trying...
Yeah, but we've seen Death Rattle decks.
Yeah, but Death Rattle decks have been around quite a lot, yeah.
And they were still green back then. They were just a different green. They were the other green. Close enough.
You're right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Hunter was in the name.
If you hold Hunter your thumb over the demon part and you assume that your monitor is calibrated poorly, it's basically the same.
Yeah. There we go. We figured it out. We We absolutely figured out. But I mean, how much of it is by design, and how much of it is just the natural endpoint of getting away from so much random card generation? Because if you still kind of want to have that type of, well, card, we got away from so much of the random card generation, and now, but they still want to have ways to give you cards. We go back to the old school of drawing. And so we're left with these cards that just draw, or in this case, it's a lot of targeted draw. And so I think that also maybe gives it a bit of an old school feel. Because I don't know, so much of this feels like old Shaman for me, which I'm really enjoying. And at the same time, the big standout for me is like, oh yay, my Lightning Storm doesn't have a range on it anymore. I love it. This feels so much better.
A card that works every time you play it. What are they doing? That's crazy.
I know what it does when I play it. Yeah.
That doesn't belong in Shaman.
Yeah. So I really wanted to get both your thoughts on this. Do you think it's, you know, they wanted to get back to this old school thing, or do you think this is just kind of where we ended up getting away from so much random card generation?
I mean, can't it be both?
Jorge, no Lostos.
They are not. They are not mutually exclusive. You are correct. All right. Fair.
Though, like, I do think that they were trying to, it was a decision to get away from all of the randomness, I think.
For a few select classes.
Yeah, I think we definitely swung way too far in one direction, and they're trying to like pull it on back now.
Yeah.
Do you remember Galakronding into a Dragon Queen Alexstrasza and just playing about 30 mana worth of cards that turn and not paying for any of them? We remember. We're in a different world now.
Yeah,
we live in a world where every class just plays Alexstrasza. And doesn't play 30.
But we know that everyone's just playing Alexstrasza.
And she costs 9. She doesn't cost 0. Yeah. She costs 9, and she doesn't give you anything else.
The right amount.
Yeah. But as the counterpoint to like taking out the random, like they did take out a lot of the random generation. But how priesty does Priest feel right now? On a scale of 1 to 10, it's very priesty, I think.
It feels quite priesty.
On a scale of 1 to 10, very.
Yes. But so
with like a garnish of paladin-y, because they're adding a butt ton of attack to something that's stuck and then cracking me in the face with it. The difference is it now has lifesteal, so they bring themselves
Apotheosis
back. Apotheosis
is such
digit.
A crazy card. Yes.
It makes me so angry, and they're also running Mutanus, so the combination of things that make me angry is
You're not the only person that's complained about Priest in this meta, more so than usual, I think, and I understand that we field Priest concerns on a regular basis, though I'm new to this show. Maybe it hasn't been that recent, but I feel like it has been since the game has existed. But this Priest feels very priesty, but still has a ton of generation. And most of that generation, I think the problem with that is not the randomness. It's Raise Dead being 0 mana and being so efficient at the generation. But still, you look
zero
at the
mana cards, man.
Crazy.
0 mana cards.
But you still look at the list on Deck Tracker on the left side of the screen at the end of the game, and they have like 60 cards and whatever, but it still feels just as priesty as the beginning.
Yes. Yes, it does. And I'm not inherently against random generation. I think we've got a pretty good balance right now. And far be it for me to say anything that could be construed as defending Priest, but
ooh, no, do
I was
it.
Like, wait, what is going on right now?
I'm just saying, played Priest before rotation. Priest? No, I want to hear it. I want to hear it, Garrett. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, if we're, it seems like this conversation is leaning towards blanket negative statements about random generation. And I just say, I don't think it's all inherently bad. I think it's good in a certain balance. And I think just because one of the most prominent examples of it right now exists in Priest, a class that a lot of people share a pain point for, I think random generation is getting a little more ire than it deserves just by virtue of where it exists right now is leaning Priest.
I mean, it's not only Priest, but yeah, it's definitely...
Yeah, again, I feel like
heavy
you're in
that class.
I feel like you're in a weird Doctor Strange pocket universe where mages are actually.
Yeah, I was gonna say, as mages get more and more random stuff, I'm just like, Oh, it's mages too. Don't forget about the mages. Them and their mana cheating, random generating ways.
But like, it's interesting to hear about, like, I've definitely also heard a disproportionate amount of complaints about priests. And I'm sitting over here wand thiefing people into evocation all day. And I'm like, no, don't talk about us. Just look over there. Look over there.
Yeah, and, look over there.
And we're doing just fine. Like, I've killed people with 4 wicked stabs. That's more than I started in my deck.
That's too many stabs.
My opponent thought so. I was fine with it. I thought it was okay.
There's always one happy player and one angry player at the end of every single Hearthstone game. Unless it's a draw.
I don't know.
And then there's still a pretty good chance at least one of the players is confused because they haven't seen one before.
And also both players have their time wasted, so it's probably mildly cranky players.
Yeah, two grumpy players.
They happen so seldom to me. I'm still usually pretty entertained when they take place. But nonetheless. Anything else? Any other decks we want to give a shout out before we move on?
Should
we just celebrate the fact that Paladin is just okay?
Okay.
I love just okay it. Paladin.
But yeah. It's so like I want to shout out Alignment Druid, kind of not a thing, but I'm seeing it anyways. I want to shout out Frost Mage, which, first of all, we're not calling it Freeze Mage. That's a distinct thing that has a very specific emotional reaction to us tenured, cranky, old Hearthstone players. So it's Frost Mage, not Freeze Mage. Zoo, where did these decks go? We wanted them. We thought we had them. We didn't. The new mini set, I like what it's done to the meta, but a lot of it isn't seeing a ton of play right now, and a lot of the things that they tried to push, both in Barrens and in Wailing Caverns, haven't necessarily landed. Do we feel okay about that?
I think it's okay, because it's a set of tools, right? And I feel like that's going to evolve over the next standard year, and you don't necessarily want to put super duper meta changing overpowered cards in the first expansion of the year. That's what the last expansion of the year is for. You want the stuff to be in there to make an impact, but to also have a shorter time span on them. If you put like really powerful meta defining cards in your first expansion of the year, then you're going to get the Rosticons Rumble experience. And that's Baku. Just going to feel bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm okay with this. I think we're in a good spot right now.
I think overall it's good, while also admitting that an archetype I've wanted to be a thing for quite a while, which is Elemental Shaman, is top of the block at the moment. So I have a biased reason to be pretty happy. But also, if that didn't work out, I'd probably be rocking Death Rattle Demon Hunter. If that didn't work out, I probably would have.
Which is also relatively new, right? Death Rattle Demon Hunter is something that kind of happened in Barrens, right? So it's not like it's stuff that's been around forever. And I think slow change over time is a good thing. Like if we've got a couple decks that are around for 3 or 4 months at a time, and then they slowly get a little bit less good, like you can still play Paladin if you want to play Paladin. They don't have a 20% win rate. Like you can still play that deck. It's just that some other stuff is better. And I think that's good. I think like a kind of like slow falling out of favor is better than like buff nerf, buff nerf, buff nerf, up and down all the time. Like, I don't know. I like this. I think they're getting to a good spot where if there's something that you don't like, it doesn't stick around too long. And if there's something that you do like, it's not like it's the flavor of the week sort of thing that's going to get nerfed into oblivion really quickly. So I think they're trying to strike, and I think they are succeeding in striking a pretty good balance between those two things, like letting things be powerful for a while, but not overstaying their welcome necessarily.
Well said. Yeah. To me, I think I'm more now trying to divine like if it accomplished what the devs wanted it to, because we now live in a world where we get buffs in updates. And so that my brain just goes to like, I can understand where some of the community feedback is coming from, where they're like, it didn't do enough. It didn't change enough. And I can understand that. Again, I'm the guy that's like, I really wanted to play Elemental Shaman in the last expansion. It didn't happen. And the miniset came along and now I can, and it's great. So to me, it's a huge boon. Death Rattle Demon Hunter, still good, as you mentioned, Joss. And the most popular deck list I've seen going around runs multiple cards from the mini set. So that's also a success in my eyes. But then I'm also sitting here going, at the same time, you know, could other classes maybe have seen a bigger bump from the mini set? I think that's totally fair. And I wouldn't be surprised to see a buff only update at some point in the future.
I could see that.
Or if there are some classes that are falling behind or less popular or haven't had their day in the sun in a while, like maybe the next expansion. Like, again, maybe. not everybody is going to be top of the pile all the time. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a pile, it'd be a line.
Would you say that maybe no king rules forever?
There you go.
Yeah, I've heard that before in other games, you know.
There must always be a target of Reddit's ire.
Is that how that goes?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what? That works for World of Warcraft as well. So I'm going to go with yes.
Yeah, that does actually. Yeah, that does really work with yes. World of Warcraft. Yeah, because they do a balance change roughly once every month, and including one with this patch that we did not see coming. And I don't know what they would even change next. Like, nothing feels overpowered and crazy.
Yeah, that's why my brain goes, if there's a change, if there's an update, I think it's going to be in increasing the power of things that didn't quite land, and we're just not going to nerf things. Like, I think, because we haven't had that before, right? If we have an update that's just strictly buffs, I don't think so.
Rise of the Mechs, the first one.
Oh, you're right, Rise of the Mechs. Yeah.
It was the first time they tried buffing things like that I can remember in a like since beta, and it was 2 weeks after a nerf patch, so it was pretty close.
First time that they had buffed things since beta, because that was part of the philosophy for a really long time, was that they would not buff things.
Yeah.
That they would rather nerf things. Yeah. So. That was I smooshed that 2 week period together in my head and thought it was buffs and nerfs, because I knew there were buffs, but I didn't realize it was only buffs. But
I think that's legitimately fair. I'm just trying to save face by saying I would give that an asterisk because it was an in-game event that just happened to be a bunch of buffs.
It was at the time, it was like, whoa, this is insane. And like, we didn't know where things would go, because back then that was coming out of it was coming out of Rosticon's Rumble. So we were all bored for a year, and a new game director had just started, and we were like, oh, well, what's going to be different? Turns out, Thanos voice, everything.
Wait, that's School Dan.
But I'm too small to do a good Thanos. I'm not Ron Perlman. He's so much taller and bassier.
Thanos isn't Ron Perlman.
He's not?
No.
It looks like Ron Perlman.
It's not Ron Perlman. That's what's his face from oh my god, why can't I think of his name?
But he has a Ron Perlman-y face.
I don't know,
right?
Names of things. Don't look at me.
Ron Perlman is Hellboy.
Yes.
You're thinking of Josh Brolin.
Oh. You're close enough.
Thanks, chat room.
Yeah. And did Thanos say everything? I'm pretty sure that's Gul Dan. That's a Gul Dan meme.
No.
Well, that is definitely a Gul Dan quote.
Thanos is inevitable.
No, Thanos, when he's, what did you sacrifice for? Everything.
Oh, you know, my bad. Meme. Okay. Okay. All right. But far be it from me to think that you meant a Blizzard meme on a show about a Blizzard game.
No, I don't know lore. Whatever. I'm being on brand for Thanos. I'm half right.
That's fine. You're absolutely correct. I don't know why I was thinking of perfectly balanced.
We were just talking about balance changes.
There we go. There you go. Okay, fine. You win. You win, Hat. You win. Twice. Anyways, before we move on, we've got a lot of other stuff to talk about. My goodness. Exciting times for Hearthstone. We want to just say thanks to everybody supporting us over at patreon.com/TAC. That's where you can go and support this here podcast. So if you like our banner, you like us telling you about what's working, what's not working in the world of Hearthstone, and giving you some recommendations on what to play, and you're thinking, oh man, I'd love to give them a dollar or two or 20. I'm not going to stop you. It's completely up to you what you enter into the field. Head on over to patreon.com/TAC. And if you become a patron, you also get some perks. You get an ad-free version of the show. You get yourself access to our Discord. So go and check that out. And on this week's episode, we want to thank some of our most recent patrons. So thank you to Stephen Katuska. Oh my goodness. Get with it, brain.
Okay, also, the next one's easy.
It's simply yak. Just yak.
Like,
I'm imagining
animal?
a lone yak in a field with a laptop listening to our show. That's what I'm imagining. And then also K-Pack. Thank you, K-Pack, with a C.
if a yak has wireless earbuds in, are they HairPods?
No. You're giving me hell for Winling's rightful.
Yes.
You can just keep going.
All right, I shall.
Good news, everyone.
Are you ready to talk about leaks?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm ready to talk about leaks. As long as they are not in the actual pipes in my home, I'm always down for a good leak, except when they also make my friends who make games sad. That's also a bummer. But a mercenary survey went out.
Yeah, this isn't like a leak though, right?
So,
this
is just... I was about to pose this question to both of you because... So let me tee it up. If you missed it, a survey went out for Hearthstone mercenaries that started making the rounds. It even included screenshots of Hearthstone mercenaries. I heard about this. Multiple listeners tweeted at us saying, hey, I got a survey about the mercenaries thing. It kind of looks a little more like a gacha game than Slay the Spire. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And that's kind of where it ended. And then someone else started tweeting like actual screenshots of the survey. And that ended up on multiple places. I think PC Gamer ran an article. Out of Cards has one. The original poster, who is a listener of the Angry Chicken, by the way, I don't want to out them because they deleted the post because they said, hey, I realize this is kind of being construed as a leak and I don't want to bum anyone out. So I'm taking this down. But I did want to post a question to you because I've never thought about it as a leak. We've had multiple Hearthstone surveys in the past. And they've always been screenshotted and reported on to hell and back everywhere.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering maybe if people are a little bit more hesitant to share this one because it does include like previously unseen screenshots. Like maybe that's the thing, is that it's like in-game content, although they also did send it out to like a bunch of random players, right? So, I mean, like, it's not like those players had to send or to sign an NDA before doing the survey. As far as I know, I wasn't one of the people that got it. But I'm wondering why, if maybe that's a little bit where the hesitation is coming from versus just like straight up like blue text of like, hey, do you like Hearthstone? How many dollars would you pay for Hearthstone? Like... text, right?
Yeah. I didn't want this to be like the vocal conversation, but I just kind of want to take your pulse.
Yeah.
I don't consider this a leak.
I don't think
a survey going out to randomly assigned players of Hearthstone.
Yeah.
Like that is going to get out.
After the rewards track, if Team 5 does not know people are going to talk about surveys, that's on them. Because I think that lesson was taught about as loudly as it could be. And I didn't really get the vibe that this going out was something that the team would be surprised that people would want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. chat room saying if there's an NDA, it's a leak. If not, probably not.
But so, it's yeah. and nothing we see in here is committal or official or what's gonna happen.
Well, it's a survey, right? Like that's the whole point of a survey. It's like, do you like these things? No? Okay, maybe we'll do something else.
Also, it's Hearthstone Mercenaries, and nothing about Hearthstone Mercenaries has been committal or sounding even vaguely like they know what it is. So
Ben Lee committed to talking to Kibler on camera. That counts as must have been nice for both of them.
I have also had long conversations with Kibler in which I divulged no information to him whatsoever.
I can't prove that. Can't confirm or deny.
Yeah.
So let's get into what's actually in the survey.
Yes, there's quite a bit. We're going to go through kind of the broad strokes here. There's multiple headlines, including deck-free battles. So no decks, but there are battles.
Yes, which Battlegrounds is also a deck-free battler where we still interact with cards. So this, I'm kind of glad that this is another mode where I don't necessarily need to worry about building a deck exactly. But again, there's many, many kind of ways you can play games that aren't necessarily a straight up deck builder that still pull from a lot of the card stuff. So eyebrow raise.
I mean, technically Battlegrounds is a deck free.
Yeah. System. So, but still uses cards, right? Or still uses at least minions that then become cards that become minions again.
Yeah. The next line talks about what it refers to as squad combinations. You make different combinations of squads, and then says there's going to be more than 50 mercenaries to collect at launch. Again, take everything here with a big grain of salt. This is not an official announcement. It's from a survey. Things can change. But yeah, that's a lot of stuff also, to potentially unlock.
Again, they said in the survey that there's going to be new mercenaries dropping monthly. That's a lot of content. That's like sounds like a commitment to consistent updates, which I mean, as we're going to get further and further into this stuff, it starts to sound like collecting the mercenaries is just as much of a game as actually battling with them.
Would you say you have to collect them all? Way?
I think you do have to collect them all, Hat. And I think your Pokemon comparison might not have been that far off.
Because you choose which six mercenaries you think you have. Choose the six, and then they're up to 52. Collect them all, and they keep
making say,
more.
Would you say, gotcha, catch them all?
That is the question. For listeners unfamiliar, gotcha is basically, remember those machines in grocery stores growing up where, like, you put a quarter in, there'd be a toy inside, a little plastic egg? Basically, if you took that and you made it into a video game, there are some examples of that. I think Raid Shadow Legends is the most infamous, but also something like Fire Emblem Heroes is a great comparison.
Which is the one I was familiar with that I did not know. Like, I had never heard that term before, like, this past, like, week, basically. And so I didn't know what a gacha game was, but I'm very familiar with Fire Emblem Heroes. It's definitely not my jam, but I know that it's a thing that exists. And some people freaking love it.
Yeah. Genshin Impact is kind of like a really high-level, polished gacha game. And if you think about it, if you instead replace the gacha mechanic with, like, say, I don't know, card packs, and you instead called it something like Hearthstone Heroes of Warcraft, it wouldn't be really all that different. If it was, you know, instead of opening loot boxes, you open card packs, and some cards are better than others, maybe call them legendaries, I don't know.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, like, card packs and loot boxes and, you know, all of these kinds of things, they're all exactly the same, right? Like, card packs are loot boxes, guys. It's something we've talked about on the show many times. Like, it's all in the same vein where you have a wrapper around something that you don't know what's inside, and then you open it up and you get a thing.
Yeah. It's there's already aspects of what would be considered a gacha in Hearthstone today.
And how aggressively that matters is also up to the developers, because if you don't have a crafting system, all of a sudden Hearthstone gets much more expensive. If you have a crafting system in some kind of gacha game where it becomes a lot less expensive, and how rare and how good the rare things are is entirely up to the devs. So it's gotten a bad rap because these things can be absolutely very predatory and they will take as much money as you put into it. But also, if you're a whale with a full golden deck, you understand how expensive Hearthstone can be too. And I'm not justifying either model. I'm just not ready to judge based on that descriptor, even though the survey did ask, would it be helpful if this game was described as a gacha game? Like, would it be effective? And so I think there is a reasonable concern and some reasonable trepidation to be had after the rewards track. Then, of course, I have faith and hope that Team 5 will recognize how important the economics are. But also, I recognize that may not be up to the developers of the game and may be up to business. And also, if the economics are bad, this is going to be bad. So I hope they're not.
Yeah. I think, too, it really depends what you do with the collectibles once you have them and how well your game is balanced around that gameplay. Like you were saying, Hat, like, how good are the most rare pieces in the game? Do I feel like I have to spend $300 on 50 different rolls in order to get that one whatever it is, card, hero, whatever, in order to then compete in whatever the gameplay loop is? And if the gameplay loop is fun, like Hearthstone, then, you know, like, that's something I'm going to want to participate in, which again comes down to why one of the reasons I like Hearthstone so much is that a deck full of legendaries is not the best deck in the game, right? Like, there's the game itself is fun and balanced. So I think that there's like that does kind of, again, however it's monetized, like you said, you were talking about the economy of everything, like depending on how this mode is actually going to be monetized and how much it's going to cost, like that's going to be balanced out against how fun it is to do the thing after you've got the stuff, right? So I'm not ready to totally write it off, but there is no game currently on the market that is like that, where it's just, you know, collect dudes and then send them off to go do a thing. And then you get a pop-up that says like, hey, you won or hey, you lost.
Which it doesn't
not a fan.
Yeah, which doesn't necessarily sound like that's how this is going to play out.
It has
a pretty noteworthy combat descriptor where it talks about you and your opponent queuing abilities and selecting targets. And then in the survey, quote, sit back and watch the fight unfold. This sounds Pokemon as hell.
Yeah. I think, again, it depends. And it's hard. It's hard because we haven't seen it, right? So Do you say, like, here's my cue and then it repeats? Or do you just, like, pick a couple things and then your turn goes and then your opponent picks a couple things and their turn goes and then you pick again? Or
I think
because then that's just straight up like turn-based combat, right? Which is something I can wrap my head around.
I think you're asking if it's asynchronous or not. Is that your question?
Yeah, kind of. Or if it's just kind of like I just choose the, well, okay, like, you know how in World of Warcraft, the new like mission table or whatever, I choose my dudes and then it just like plays out and it's like a kind of an auto battler that takes a bunch of time and nobody ever actually sits and watches it because it's stupid and boring and why did they make it? And I'm hoping that this isn't stupid and boring and why did they make it?
Like, I agree. I wanna actually with that sentence
interact on
they want this to be a successful, you know, game mode that also leads to additional monetization. So I am that their goal is that it's not instead of an auto battler, a boring battler.
Yeah, like I wanted
to envision the meeting. They're there and they're like, how do we make this stupid and boring? How do we do that?
Let's ask the WoW team.
We have friends listening to the show that work.
I am officially
teasing. Like, I'm teasing.
It's okay. They can't hear us. They're stuck in Torghast.
Let's make a pact. I want no more dunking on WoW until 9.1 comes out, because I just feel bad at this point.
Okay, I know.
Stop it, he's dead already.
I am punching down. I'm punching down a lot right now. But the larger point is that the reason I don't like that section of Warcraft is because you just set it and forget it, and that's not fun. I want to have like turns with decision points. I don't want to just like queue in with a team of whatever it is, three or six or whatever, and forget that I've joined that game, you know, like, and just have it kind of all play out. And, you know, if I ended up with a good matchup, great. And if I didn't, then I don't. Like, that's just not fun for me. I want to have like, I want to have turns and have decisions based on decisions that my opponent has made. I want to be active.
So, the thing is, I'll wind us down a little bit here because we have a lot more show notes here. There's a lot of show notes. So Battlegrounds, I wasn't sure was going to catch me, and then it happened at BlizzCon, and I played one game, and then I got back in line 9 more times that weekend. It was all I did the whole weekend. The reason that I keep playing Hearthstone, I'm on 3 Hearthstone podcasts, and why I defend the developers constantly on social media, and why I talk to them, because like, these people have consistently made a really enjoyable game experience that I have felt comfortable devoting large portions of my life to because I can't stop playing the game for multiple years. So far, their efforts historically have proven to me that they know how to make awesome games that I don't want to stop playing, to the point where I wish I could play more BGs because I don't have the time playing the other part of their game. I'm too busy with the one half of their game to play the other half. I hope this, and I have faith that this section of Hearthstone, this new edition of Hearthstone, will be similarly crafted and polished. It needs to not be extortionately expensive. I really hope that business does not override gameplay. I would assume that after Rewards Track Backlash, they got the message that you gotta be appropriate here. And also, if they want to win a genre, the way they do it is the way they did with Battlegrounds, underpriced and then raised up if you need to, though BGs hasn't figured out that part yet. I have a lot of faith in the game being really fun because it is made by the people that made all the other parts of the really fun game that we keep playing and talking about every week. However, it's weird, it's a little different, and a lot of the associations here people are nervous, and I think justifiably so as players, in how all the ways this could go wrong or just add to the game in a way they aren't interested in. Because ultimately, the biggest problem here is that we don't know what the hell this game is. What is this thing?
So I think they could get out in front of this real fast if they just put out a 1-minute gameplay video.
Or you know, tell like, us that it's not ready yet and delay it.
I'm actually raising my hand and going, I think the existence of a survey is telling us that it's not ready yet.
Yeah. So
I think that there's just, because the announcement came out so like long ago with no follow-up news, because they seemed at the time to be telling us about it and acting like they maybe knew what it was and giving us the impression it was further along. So we were expecting more stuff, and then we haven't really gotten more stuff. And then the stuff that we get is this survey, which is, you know, open to some interpretation, maybe. Like, even if they just gave us, even if it's not a video, although I do think a video might help people to just understand the flow of what they're trying to do, whether it like ends up that way or not, like just explain a little bit more like what you're thinking, I guess, because I think a lot of people are looking at this and thinking, well, originally we thought, oh, okay, it's Slay the Spire, and now it's like, oh, it's not Slay the Spire, and now maybe it has more in common with like Pokemon and gacha games and all the, you know, and some of the things that have a lot of negative a lot of negative connotations potentially. They could just, you know, fix that by giving us just a little bit of explanation.
By telling us what the damn game is. Tell us what the game is. And on the one hand, the announcement was weird and a while ago and was just Ben Lee talking to Kibler with no gameplay footage and one screenshot for 1 second. On the other hand,
I would like to add that it's a cautionary tale about roadmaps. That's all I wanted to add about the announcement being weird. I think we got an announcement because they promised an announcement and they weren't ready to give us an announcement. It just reeks of that. On the other hand,
for a game mode to be this unfinished and the game director to think it's cool enough and important enough to tell us about it when he has literally nothing to show has to mean something. Because they could have just not said anything. And they said,
oh, never mind. Yeah. Never mind. I think it means they promised they were going to tell us what it was, and so they kind of didn't tell us what it was because they promised.
But that was before the roadmap came out. That was the same BlizzCon where they put the roadmap out for the year. They could have just spell locked it. Could have just been a spell lock.
Wasn't another game mode the final spell lock?
It was in the previous year. Yep.
That was Duels. That was Duels.
No, Duels was the second
November.
One.
It was, no, Classic mode. It was Classic. Classic Ladder.
I think they changed.
Was it?
Lines.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't remember. It's very confusing.
There was a lot of like weird messaging around that. But anyways, yeah. I mean, they could have talked about it. They could have not talked about it. I don't know. But anyways, they did talk about it, and so now we're speculating about it, and they could fix a lot of that just by giving us a blog post or a video, I think. So, because yeah, there's a lot of this stuff that sounds like. And I mean, they do even talk about like playing PvE or PvP. Mm-hmm. So doing like evolving maps and bosses, which is kind of where like the Slay the Spire map looking thing kind of comes from or evokes. That must be the PvE side of things. But then you're also going to play against other players if you want. Like, it sounds like they're checking a lot of boxes. I hope it's good and interesting. I hope it's good and interesting because it seems like they're trying to say, yeah, you can do everything that you want to do in this mode, except deck build. That's now off the table.
Do not build. Yeah, do not build. Nice.
You want
do
that?
Not.
Get the out to standard.
Yeah. I don't know. My end point is overall, I kind of don't mind this now. Like to me, the initial announcement was super weird, but now that like they're clear to me, this is just. Makes it clear to me, it seems clear to me, that they're working on it until it is ready, that they're taking the time that they need to take to make sure that it is a quality product, which to me sounds like Blizzard of old. And Lord knows there's been enough headlines recently on IGN that are short long novellas going to great pains to talk about how much Blizzard has changed.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, to me, like, overall, I'm gut checking myself and going, wait a minute, there was a time, multiple times recently I'd be like, I've said out loud, boy, I just wish Blizzard would take the time with this. And it seems like they're taking their time with things. So to me, this all seems fine. The only reason we know about it is the survey. And I think, again, there's so much that just the existence of the survey tells to me. And I think part of it is they're asking us kind of how to communicate. I think that's why that does using the term gotcha even help, which I think with our different interpretations of it, I think that's up for question. I think how helpful gotcha even is, because multiple gotcha games we rattled off. They also have like RPG combat. So like, why aren't we calling them RPGs? Like, gotcha seems to have, to me, at the end of this conversation, more of a connotation with how it's monetized than how it actually plays.
Yes.
So I think it's good that they're asking these questions. I think it's good that they're putting out the survey. Still think Mercenary is a little weird, and I'm still not quite too sure what it is, but I feel like I have a significantly stronger idea now.
Well, it's also got a bit of Stardew Valley in it too, because you're going to have a village and then it's going to grow. So, you know, they're throwing all the indies in.
Can I romance Illidan? Ooh, that's all I care about.
Is your name Tyrande?
Illidan wishes.
Never mind. Can I romance Tyrande?
So you want to romance a priest?
Listen, Tyrande also has a bow, also casts Moonfire. Warcraft doesn't know what Tyrande is. It's fine. Anyways, moving right along, we have a sponsor to thank today. And that is Honey. They're back sponsoring this episode of The Angry Chicken. You should check them out over at joinhoney.com/TAC. If you're out there thinking to yourself, what is Honey? The thing I eat? No. It helps you shop online, because we all do it. We all shop online. And I know you've been sitting there, seeing that promo code just taunting you. Check out, and you're just like, I don't know, could I maybe like put my cursor in the promo code and bash my head against the keyboard and hope to God that works? Or maybe I could waste 20 minutes of my life that I'll never get back searching for promo codes on search engines. No, just install Honey. It's free. It'll figure that out for you. It'll save your forehead and it'll save your time. It's wonderful. It's a free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes, and it applies the best one it finds to your cart automatically. And Honey supports over 30,000 stores online. I have had this installed on my browser since they were like, hey, can we sponsor your show? I'm like, hell yeah. But I want to try Honey. And I like immediately save money on those ridiculous sunglasses I've talked about in the past. Joss, you said you recently saved some money with Honey, which rhymes, and I didn't mean it.
I did. So I actually did some online shopping, because there was this whole big article about a Canadian company. And the reason I wanted to bring it up was because there's so many of these things that don't work in Canada, but Honey works in Canada. And so I was able to support a local company in order to buy, guys, I bought a lot of bras. So I was able to actually buy bras from a local company, and Honey still saved me like $30. It was awesome. And I didn't have to do anything. It was just like, I got to the checkout part and it was like, bing, by the way, have $30 off. I was like, okay, thanks, Honey.
Yeah, it happens automatically, and it works really well. Like, it only pops up when there's a field, like when you, it's so intuitive. I've really been impressed with it. I really have had it installed on the browser for years now. So anyways, go check it out. Honey found it's over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings. I guess we can add $30 from Joss to that total.
Yep.
listen, if you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free. It installs in just a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting us here on The Angry Chicken. We wouldn't recommend something we don't use. So get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/TAC. That's joinhoney.com/TAC. And now, speaking of, things you don't need to worry about anymore, like coupon codes, if you're in Wild, soon you won't need to worry about Stealer of Souls.
It's out of here. Which is kind of unfortunate, because Stealer of Souls is the one that we were talking about that I was pretty stoked about, just because I like to see them playing around with different ways to pay for cards, you know, so including things like discard mechanics. Stealer of Souls, if you guys haven't really seen it, if you're not playing a lot in Wild, is it actually changes the cost of your card from mana to health, which is a super cool and fun potential mechanic. And again, I like to see them play around with this stuff, but yeah, super broken on the wild side of things. So no longer playable in wild until I believe they say until it actually rotates out of standard. So it sounds like when it does rotate out of standard, they might be making a significant change to the card to make it playable in wild. But for now, yeah, it is not playable over there.
This is unprecedented. This is a proper, this card is banned in a specific it's actually, format.
Yeah, it's full on banned.
Yeah. I really like the new kind of, I say new, we've been doing this show for 7 years. So relatively new philosophy of the Hearthstone team where they just kind of do what feels right, in my opinion, which is a little bit of shade this the is, old way of thinking.
This is new, like, as of this tweet, this is a new thing that they had never done before, like new. Not like, hey, we're going to buff some cards with a patch, which was old new. This is, yeah, there's got to be
better right. But like for multiple years now, we've been getting used to like a wildly different way of approaching changing the game of Hearthstone. And this is just another, to me, this feels in line with all of the other things we've gone. Oh, my God, they can just do that. Like, that's been happening a lot. And to me, I really like it, because to me this just seems like the easiest solution.
Yeah, something super broken, you're not sure what to do with it, get out of here, just ban it, whatever. We'll fix it later.
And there's a lot going on here too, because it's, you think about wild, and I think that Alec did have a follow-up tweet to this saying that when Steeler rotates to wild only, they will figure out what to do with it, what nerf to make it wild appropriate, and if it gets nerfed in standard before then, they'll reevaluate if it's time to reintroduce the pool. So as of right now, just to clarify, this card is banned until April 2023, unless we get some change to Sealer of Souls that makes it palatable in wild. It's out of that format until April 2023, and then they will rebalance the card if they need to at that point, which they probably will, because wild is a format that's going to keep growing. It's not going to get less broken. That's not that's not the direction it's going to go. And
if you crafted it for wild, they are giving you your dust back.
Yes. Though it's a mini set card, so most people probably didn't. But if you did, you can get the dust back, like, whatever. This is a weird problem as well. Because, like, wild feels like the place where you should go to play all of your cards. But there, no one in a week and a half was, like, attached to Stealer of Souls. If you banned Lothab... People have been playing with Lothab since 2015. You can't just take that card away and be like, what are you doing? And also, it's wild only. But this card's a week and a half old, and it's like, yo, this card's not doing something we wanted to do. It's going to have a timeout. You can play with it in standard if you want to play with it.
Go sit in the corner.
Go sit in It's a lot better than completely destroying the card for standard, and you can't keep nerfing standard cards for wild's sake, because then standard loses the ability to have new powerful cards, and Steeler isn't even good in standard right now. Warlock's not good in standard right now.
Well, and they've made it pretty clear too that they don't balance around wild, right? So their primary concern when it comes to card balance in Hearthstone is, and probably always will be, standard. So, I mean, like, they want crazy stuff to happen in wild, and so they're not going to necessarily design or balance around that mode. They want crazy things to happen. But chat room saying that it just completely shuts out two kind of archetypes within the mode. So, I mean, yeah, that's the kind of thing that maybe makes wild then not fun to play, because you can't, if you have one card that's making it so that you can't play entire archetypes, then that's going to be a problem. So I think this is the right choice, and I think it allows wild to still do wild and crazy things and more wild and crazy things, right? This card was oppressive, maybe not overpowered, but definitely oppressive. So I think that this is a good decision, and, you know, keep it up.
Yeah.
I'm happy with the change.
We're illustrating the difference between balanced and healthy. The format was balanced, and this interaction was deeply unhealthy. You all know how the combo worked, right?
No. Okay. Not a wild player.
So
no.
I'll give you the brief rundown. You would go Steeler, Plot Twist, then play either Mal'Ganis or Violet Illusionist and make your own hero immune, and then every card you play is free for the that you draw.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think you were talking about this on our last episode. I think. Yeah, yeah.
Sounds
okay.
Like something I would do. Yeah.
Yeah. We so and it came up.
And then you just play your whole deck for free, and it costs life that you don't pay. And so, like, they ban stuff or nerf stuff in Wild when it breaks the rules of the game in a really major way, and that seems pretty rule-breaky. Your card's supposed to cost something.
Something, yeah.
Instead of not something.
Listen, Hearthstone is open to bartering, you know? If you want to trade cards for cards, it's fine. We're not married to simply mana, but it's got to cost something.
Yes.
I mean, hell, maybe you could cast a card and they ask you to answer one survey question. You know, must answer a question to cast this spell.
Well, if it's a legendary card, you get three survey questions. That's the gotcha.
Oh,
well, there it is. But again, it's Hearthstone. Legendary does not necessarily mean good. So that's a catch. That's a catch. Anyways, boy, I cannot wait to talk about GM.
That was a plot twist, huh? Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to talk about GM, and I think you guys probably know exactly the part of GM we're going to talk about because, yeah, this was the most unique Grandmasters tournament that we've ever had. Not for the greatest reason, though. Over on the EU side of things, Blizes lost his finals against Frenetic in, again, EU. And he didn't really take it very well. And instead of actually finishing the game, he just rage quit, turn off his camera, and disconnected from the game, which then held up the entire competition because the admins had to get in contact with him to actually verify that he had intentionally disconnected as opposed to having computer problems in the final turn of the game. So they had to figure out if they were going to play it or if they had to play it out, if he was coming back or not. And yeah, so it was, I think, very unprofessional, very unsportsmanlike, and I don't know if they have actually told us what the punishment is, but yeah, it's, I don't know. I, as a viewer, find it very, very frustrating, and I don't really think that this sort of behavior has any place in esports. Professional esports. Trying to say this in the most rational, level-headed way that I can. Because I feel like there's a lot of excuses being made, saying that he's young and there's a lot of pressure and everything else. But I think that there is still an expectation of sportsman-like behavior. And this is just completely unacceptable.
I do mean this to have some comedic intent. Joss, you do watch hockey, yes?
I do watch hockey.
Because when I think of a sport with nothing but the most utmost respectful conduct by every player, and definitely not what I would describe as violent hissy fits by grown men.
Sorry, did you mean soccer?
Actually, I'm maybe describing literally every competitive sport on the planet, but I'm definitely describing hockey.
Well, but there's, I mean, and this kind of speaks to a little bit more of my point of we don't know what the punishment is, as far as I know, unless there's been follow-up from Blizzard, but I don't think that there has been.
At the time of, like, minutes before going in to record this, no, there's been no follow-up.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that like in basically any sport, traditional sport, like let's take hockey as an example, there are rules and punishments for unsportsmanlike behavior. And depending on the level of impact on the other team, then, you know, there are 2-minute penalties, 5-minute penalties, like full on suspensions, like there are monetary fines. There's all kinds of stuff to deal with this kind of behavior. And I know that there are obviously like Well, actually, I don't even know if there's like rules against rage quitting. Like, I haven't read the rules that closely, but they are intentionally vague in a lot of cases. So I'm sure that there are rules that could apply in this situation. But yeah. So anyways, like there are consequences to your actions, and I think that there should be very stern consequences to this, including like up to and including not inviting him back to Grandmasters. I don't think that there's any place for behavior like this. It's kind of ridiculous. And I mean, you know, Tatrim, you're right. He could have just roped out the turn and had the exact same effect. But because he chose to do what he did and actually disconnect, then, you know, it took the spotlight off of his opponent, who won a spot in the World Championships, which should have been a very happy, exciting moment for him. And it was taken away. It disrupted the broadcast. They had to wait for the admins. Like, it didn't have no impact. Or I guess it had some impact, to, you know, be a little bit more grammatically correct here.
So a lot of the discussion that's been going around, I think, has focused on Boz being young, right? Boz being young. He's, what, 20 years old? And if I think about the decisions that I made in my life at 20 years old, I would be grateful they were not all on camera, because I don't think all of them would hold up particularly well to scrutiny. But at the same time, no one's on camera by accident like that. I mean, I guess you can get, you know, videoed in public or whatever. That's not what happened. This was a premeditated camera circumstance.
I would like to add on to this and say I'm really glad. I'm really glad that HD camera phones were not a thing when I was in my 20s.
Yes.
I'd like to add that equation.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
And, you know, was this an immature thing from an immature person? Sure. Are there immature people in the world? Yes. Did he know it was on camera? Yes. But, we talked about this before the show, and Joss, you helped me work through this a little bit. This could very easily just be a boys will be boys thing, because that's all. It's this boy, which I referred to as a 20-year-old boy, because I think of myself at that age as being immature. It's a way to help people minimize accountability and responsibility for their own actions. And all he had to do was press escape concede, which is an action that we have all done in the show hundreds, if not thousands of times, that he is almost
that they've
certainly done
on broad, that many other players have had to do on broadcast in the exact same situation. Like, this isn't the first time somebody has gotten a bad beat in Hearthstone on camera.
Yeah.
With exactly these same stakes, if not higher.
So did it cause a problem to the tournament? No. Did it cause a problem? Like, did it dramatically impact the way the tournament ran? Not really. Was an inconvenience that the casters had to scramble for and the admins had to scramble for? Yeah. We all got through it. It's not, you know, they still crowned a champion at the end of the day. It didn't change the results. There was no accusations of wrongdoing, whatever. Did it need to happen? Absolutely not.
This week.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's this week. Others were against. Well,
which, and whatever. I think that, you know, to be honest, my feelings about this do have a lot to do with who the actual player is as well. Because, again, this is not the first time he's had questions raised about his sportsmanship, or, you know, has caused issues for admins and for Blizzard Esports. And, you know, like, this is very much not a first strike situation. So I think, like, again, I still think that there should be penalties, there are rules, and there should be certain expectations about professionalism with the, you know, the players are making money for this. Like, yeah, they're representing, like, Blizzard, they're representing Hearthstone. Like, I don't know, I think that there should be a certain level or a certain expectation of professionalism and sportsmanship shown at GM. It's literally the highest level of Hearthstone competition that we have. So I think that there should be punishments, and I think it should be harsher on him because it's not a first offense.
And it was the finals. This is the pinnacle of competition. And so that was the message that was sent of, this is the best we can do. And I think we can do a little better. And we can justify his behavior by him being a kid that was under a lot of pressure, that did a dumb thing, and we've all been there. Sure, we can do that. Or we can say, hey, when you know you're going to be on camera and you're going to, like, just maybe find a way to press escape concede before you do this. It takes 1 second.
Can I troll seriously for a moment?
Well, are you serious or are you trolling?
I'm going to say a trolly comment that I mean.
Okay.
I personally don't find Hearthstone esports all that interesting, and I think this is the most interesting thing to happen in Hearthstone esports in years.
Which is a very unfortunate thing.
Yeah. I don't think you're wrong, but I'm more sad now than I was before you said that.
It's just that there's a lot of my personal thoughts, like I feel like I need to be honest there, which is like Hearthstone esports seems to be coasting and not all that interested in improving in general to me. I think the move to YouTube was a massive joke that just put me in that mindset. And GHEM has a lot of other issues that we've talked about in private and on the show. Yeah. That it's just like, if you drop out of it, it feels like that's it. It's over. There is not a lower league of note. But that being said, this sort of like, so beyond that, I really don't keep up with it because it's just, which I find interesting, and I don't know how much we want to get into this, but Hearthstone's meta has
I was gonna say 13 minutes worth. Go.
Hearthstone's meta is staying as fresh as it ever has been, and has been, you know, being rejuvenated as often as it ever has been in the history of the game, and yet I still just feel like, yeah, I've seen one match. I've seen them all. Like when I tune in to a rant, like to actually watch it live. If I hear about a good game, I will go and sort, you know, seek the VOD out afterwards. But sitting there all day and watching Hearthstone, I do not get the appeal. I really don't. It is so mind-blowingly boring to me. And it's just so, I don't know. It really feels like paint by number esports to me. And there, it's been a while since I've had a storyline that I can really like latch onto and remember. And so I think I'm going easy on this whole story because like, I've been annoyed at players in the past that have behaved in the way that Blizzard has. Anyone who like remembers my old days covering StarCraft, I couldn't stand Nanny Wah. I thought his attitude was like dumpster tier. he drove me up a wall. And yet I found Idra wildly entertaining because usually he would just like break a keyboard and throw him off the stage. Like Danny will actually held things up. But yeah, this actually broke through the noise and like made headlines. And I'm like, you know, whether you like it or not, it's like, it's a personality and it's a storyline. So I think that's why I kind of feel the way I do about this. And I'm just trying to find my way
which I think is fair. And I think that just makes like you and I, the two different or two of probably many, but two different styles of viewers, right? Like you don't necessarily find the day long tournament to be entertaining. Whereas I just like watching for the Hearthstone. Like half the time I turn off the commentators. Like I'll just watch the game because I find the game interesting and compelling, and I like seeing it played at the highest level, and that is enough entertainment for me. I don't need this bullshit. But I understand. I mean, professional wrestling is a thing for a reason. Like that kind of stuff, those antics are entertaining to a certain type of viewer, absolutely. And so if they want the Garrett type viewers and not the Jocelyn type viewers, fine. Like, but they're going to lose me if this is the kind of stuff that they keep allowing and perpetuating.
But you can also, you can do this and still like Language Hacker can have a salty claps and Tyler can breakdance after his wins. And then you still just like also don't look like a baby.
Yeah, like that kind of stuff like is entertaining and that I will watch. And I like seeing the players react and care about the game. But it's just that, like you said, those actions don't have an impact on their opponents. Like, you know, Language Hacker isn't just like roping out every turn and not making any plays and just holding the game hostage and being a jerk, right? Like, I think there's a difference there. It comes down to impact on the people around you. And I don't think that it's okay to constantly have a negative impact on all the people around you. That's just not a healthy or nice way to live. So just, you know, don't.
And you look at the last Masters Tour, I don't think there is a player that is more expressive than one Gabby. Gabby HF. Mm. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, he was great.
It's amazing. I tweeted at the time that I think that Gabby winning that Masters Tour and the way that it happened will be the beginning point of a Hearthstone esports renaissance. And in 5 years, we'll look back at that moment and be like, this was it. And yeah. You can you can have personalities without having jerks. And when you say yeah. that jerks are your personalities, you're saying that's how you have to act to be noticed. And it was so public and so visible from a person that has won two Masters Tours back to back and is a new GM and a young person that others will look up to. We don't have to expect the people that are good at the video game to be good people, but it sure is nice if they are. And it's not that hard to be a better person than you were yesterday. It's not that hard to press concede. So did this thing personally offend me? No. Should have happened? No. Can it be better? Yes. Next time, please be better, Blaz. Please be better, because this is not the example we need to set. You can be a heel without being a jerk.
I like that.
That's a good way to end it.
Yeah,
that's a good way to end it. And let's take a question before we end this.
Hello.
Hello, it's me.
Hello.
Just quickly, do you get my message?
Yep.
Oh.
Hello, brother.
You can send your emails to tacpodcast@gmail.com. If you're on the Patreon, guess what? You drop a question in the patron Discord. Mike SG writes in and says, so BG is all about big numbers and having fun seeing those huge numbers smash into each other and building these huge boards, right? The worst, all caps for emphasis, is when you just dominate a lobby because you're too good at the game and scale too hard, but you want to keep going after you've already won because it's fun to build these huge boards. Not sure I agree with you, Mike SG. How do you feel about a never-ending mode?
The worst feeling is when you win too hard?
Yeah, I would love to feel that bad all the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mike SG says, how do you feel about a never-ending mode? How do you think they should do it? I think because there are probably so many games going at once, they could take the first place from 8 lobbies and pit them against each other, keeping the same board they just won with. Though I have no clue how they would do minion pulls, and I guess everyone would start at tier 6? Question mark. Haven't worked out the details yet, but I think it could be really, really cool, Mike SG. I love that you were so excited about this that you sent it without working out the details.
Yeah.
Like, I can feel you vibrating with excitement over this idea.
I want to see the screenshot. I want to see the build that made them send this email. I want to see it because you know there was a screenshot there.
There was a game, yeah.
Yeah, Mike. If you can still scroll back and see this four band, we want to see it. You know, picks or your extreme joy didn't happen. yeah, it's. I mean, hold up a second, Mike. I think what we need is really at the end of the day, I think we just need a maximum amount of lobbies that makes sense. Cause we've got arena to till you lose this many times or till you win that many times. And same thing goes for duels.
But there's an end. Cause I was thinking there's going to be one person that's just going to play for 7 days straight. And it's just going to fall asleep on their keyboard.
yeah. But what Mike is describing, I think could be a pretty absurd and fun to play brawl. Maybe you could do two more lobbies. If I could keep going for potentially 3 BG lobbies where lobby 2 and 3 are just tier 6 buffoonery. Sure. Send it. Let's go. I'm into this idea.
I love the idea of pitting a whole bunch of first place warbands against each other. You think you were good in your lobby? Well, how about all these other 7 people? And I'm sure that there is some sort of workaround minion pool that they could figure out. Someone much smarter than me can do that. But there's got to be a way to make this work, because I love that idea. It's like, take all your high roly people and put them in a room.
This is the could Superman beat Batman in a fight? Question for Battlegrounds. Take yes! all of your superhero lobbies. And it's interesting is that if you high roll and spike harder and win faster, your board is worse than someone has to grind out to turn 16. It would be interesting. And so, Garrett, you said the magic word. You said the word brawl. BG needs to be wackier. We need a BG brawl. Get something going there. Maybe you just do a BG brawl where everyone starts at tier 6. Or if it just starts in the, you start on tier 6. No leveling. Just like the tier 6 is just there. And you just go nuts. Or maybe they do. You randomly get a first place board from, and like everybody gets a first place from that went X turns. Something like that, and they figure it out, they make it work, they pick a lobby, they have millions of billions of trillions of games, whatever. So they just, they pick a tribal comp, and they pick a final ending turn, and they take 8 first places that match that filter, because there has to be a lot of them, and they just put them all together, mm-hmm. and they just put it all together. I don't know. This looks fun.
I think what you, just described, what you just described is the first tavern brawl I would play in a very long time.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, yeah, let's do it. I would play that in a heartbeat.
The other really interesting thing would be if you had like a whole bunch of first place people, they may or may not have had the same minions in the lobby, right? So you might end up like with a
12 Calageese or something.
You're right.
12 Calageese.
Well, oh my goodness, you're right. You're right. Different people with the golden goose. That's a lot of geese.
So like what if you win in like a crazy, I don't know, like giant Quillboard lobby, but then you, one of the other first place people that you get paired in with is Poisonous Murlocs, but there were no Poisonous Murlocs in your first lobby, so now you're like, oh, my Quillboards, no! Like, I just want this really
badly now. The dangers of parallel dimensions, yes.
Yeah.
How much value is there in still being able to continue tripling from your tribe, right? Because then, like, how much is Taunt? Because Taunt's never not in the pool. So, like, does Taunt become a more of a meta build because it still it will always guarantee to have access to its minion type?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how do you just put it in your lobby? Like, oh, man, I don't know. This is a cool idea.
The best hero, Bigglesworth. By a huge margin is Bigglesworth.
Yes. Oh, man. He would just keep getting crazy value.
Okay, hold on. This mode needs a damage maximum.
Yeah, which is 50 damage. You went, just 50.
What if you went into, when you got into the second level of lobby, your health reset, and then you got another 30. So then you get like 60 health. And then if you get into the next level, you got 90 health.
You lose one board. Like,
yeah, well, that's the thing, right? The damage ramps up so fast. You got to be able to take a couple of hits.
No, this has to be goofy. I want, you live by the board, you die by the board. You got to earn your way in, and sometimes that's just how the cookie crumbles.
Oh, so you think if you go into this random hypothetical everybody's first place lobby, then if you go in with one health, you've got one health the whole time?
You
that's
reset
it?
Reset the health, but damage is damage. And if you die,
damage is damage.
You
yeah.
die.
Okay.
That's just, it, sometimes it'd be like that.
They need to add an Easter egg where if you get hit by for like 50 or more damage and like lose out, you come back to your brawl screen and it's like cracked. I want you to get hit so hard, it damages the Hearthstone menu.
That's awesome.
If you die the first turn you're in the super lobby, I want it to play the Bart Simpson gif of you tried and throwing the cake in the trash.
Okay, hold on. I'm sorry. You need to leave the show now because you say gif, not gif. I'm sorry. Okay, that's a line I refuse to allow. It's nice knowing you, Hat. Nice.
It was a good run. It's a good try.
It's a good time. I've been Jarrett Weinzerl.
I will call you that. I'll do it.
I will definitely drop you from the skull. I have the power.
I'll be good.
Yeah, chat room. Hat is exposing himself on this. We're all exposing ourselves this episode. I've talked about that. I don't really care for Hearthstone Esports. We've found out how much Joss
saved on Bras. Someone changed the title. I was going to go back to the title saying it was Bring Out Your Wieners, and it was going to fit so well, and someone changed the title.
Oh, I'm sorry I took away your wiener's hat.
All right, well, folks,
we have to bring him back out. That's the point. Bring Garrett, go to the outro. Go to the outro. Please take the
show away. Now I'm picturing a full-on like wheelbarrow full of wieners.
Bring out your outros because it's the end of the show. Thank you so much for your emails and your questions, everybody. Keep them coming to TACpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're a patron, keep dropping them in the Discord. And if you're not Discord friendly, if you don't like Discord, it's fine. You don't have to join it. You can also drop us a DM right there in the Patreon interface. So go and check that out. Speaking of our patrons, thank you again. And if you want to become a patron, that means you support this podcast with a dollar or more over at patreon.com/TAC. That's where you can go and do that. Get yourself an ad-free version of the feed, join the Discord, plus some other perks. Speaking of patrons, also a huge thanks to our Patreon producers, Declan H., Cheesy Bob, and Jeffrey D. Thank you so much, you three. You know where to become a producer. I've mentioned the Patreon multiple times now. That's where you go. If you want to see more Angry Chicken, maybe you missed the last episode, you want to go back and listen to how wrong I was about Elemental Shaman not going to be a thing. You can sit there with the earbuds and go, pass Garrett, I'm so much smarter than you. You can do that at theangrychicken.com. Every single episode of this podcast we've ever recorded can be found there. I apologize for dumb things we said in the past, but that's time. It keeps marching on, baby. All right. Joss, when you're not on the Angry Chicken, you do other podcasts. You create other content. Where can people find you?
I do. You can find me on Twitter and Twitch. I'm at Joss Plays. That's J-O-C-E Plays. You can also check out The Gamers Inn. We had Scott Johnson on last week. We talked about Summer Game Fest and a lot of ESO. And then E3 was this weekend. So this week, Ryan and I will be talking about everything that was announced at E3 and whether we even really like that format anymore. Because I don't know about you guys, but seeing a whole bunch of stuff only get about 2 or 3 minutes worth of time, I don't know if I like that. I want deep dives.
Can I just have both? Because it's still like some of the really big, ridiculous stage presentations like Microsoft.
Yeah.
So, man, I really enjoyed Microsoft. That felt like E3. Literally nothing else did.
Yeah.
Nothing else felt like E3. But the Microsoft Bethesda conference, I'm like, oh, yes.
Did you see Sea of Thieves stuff?
Wash over me post-COVID.
I'm so excited.
Did you see my tweet?
No.
So we're sitting there. All right. A spoiler for Sea of Thieves trailer. Also, the update comes out in like a week. So
yeah, this is a 22nd. And so it's all free.
So we're sitting there
wild,
watching E3. By the way, the Xbox, the Microsoft/Bethesda one is the only one I watched all the way through in its entirety live. Everything else, I was just watching clips afterwards. I'm like, Devolver, like you put on good presentations, but I can catch you after the fact. No offense.
But Nina.
Yes, I know. I know. Anyways, sitting there, which means Katie was had to sit through all of this, and she only cares about like a few very specific games. And anyway, the Sea of Thieves logo shows, and I'm like, okay, time to check my phone. And I just hear what I could have sworn was Tia Dalma from Pirates of the Caribbean doing voiceover. And so I look up, and I'm like, okay, it doesn't really look like Tia Dalma, but it sure as hell sounds like her. And my God, this is just very, very pirate-y. And as if to give voice to what was happening inside my brain, Katie goes, boy, they are really ripping off Pirates of the Caribbean, aren't they? Not a second later, actual Jack Sparrow shows up in Sea of Thieves, and both of us just go, holy shit!
So, yeah, I'm so excited. It's going to be really, really good. Sea of Thieves is really, really good if you haven't checked it out in a long time. But yeah, now we're getting a layer of Pirates of the Caribbean over top of it. And in a new, cool and original story, too. So they're putting like a full on pirate story in Sea of Thieves. So or Pirates of the Caribbean story. There's plenty of pirate stories in Sea of Thieves. But
yeah, I'm a kind of a zero chill Pirates of the Caribbean fan. Like I even like a majority of the sequels. A majority.
Oh, yeah, no, me too. I am all in regardless. I just
choose my words wisely there.
At World's End and Stranger Tides.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not
all
Stranger
of them.
Tides. Stranger Tides all is of one them. Of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Okay. All of them. I'm
love
down.
That World's End. Love it. Wait. Which one's which? Whatever one has Blackbeard is the worst movie I've ever seen. Next to Independence Day Resurgence.
Yeah.
Okay.
The most recent main sequel.
No, that was the fourth one. The most recent main sequel had the Ashy Boys. And,
is there a fifth one? Did they keep making more?
There's a fifth one. I like the fifth one. I think the fifth one's really fun. I'm a total fifth pirate's apologist.
That's like low key Googling right now because I can't believe.
I guess it's good that I don't work in the movie industry. Ooh, wait a minute. I work at a movie theater.
But yeah, anyways, if you guys want more thoughts on Sea of Thieves and everything else that was announced on E3, go check out this week's Gamers In, which we're recording tomorrow. So I'm stoked. Lots of stuff to talk about.
This happens every time we have like a long outro conversation. If you're one of the people who comments with, I'm going to outro the show now and then proceeds to talk about X topic for 10 minutes. Welcome to the outro. I guess you skipped the last few. Ridiculous hat. Dude, where can people find you when you're not doing the Angry Chicken?
I made a movie theater ignoring all Pirates of the Caribbean releases. I guess twitter.com/ridiculous hat is the hub of my content. Coin Concede, this is one of my other two Hearthstone podcasts. We made the competitive side of the game more accessible to you. We talked about Grandmasters over there too, and other stuff. CoinConcede.com and Vicious Syndicate, where it's a data-driven look at the standard metagame, and you can find that over at viciouscyndicate.com.
I'm Garrett Art on Twitter. You can follow me on there. It's G-A-R-R-E-T-T. Punch that in and get my random unfiltered thoughts. I've been tweeting about Batman and Catwoman for no reason whatsoever at all. But you can find that at Garrett Art on Twitter. You can find this podcast and every single other one that I produce. Be very careful. Don't do that on a work device. You can also find this podcast and every single other one that I produce over at amove.tv. That is AMOVE.TV. Go there. See my other shows. Heroes of the Storm is wonderful at the moment. Is the only Blizzard game that is getting updates even remotely close to the frequency in which Hearthstone is, which surprises a lot of people, but I talk all about that on Into the Nexus, my Heroes of the Storm podcast. So go give that a listen. That's going to do it for this episode of The Angry Chicken, episode 420 to be exact. And so until next time, no, I'm not going to make a 420 reference. I'm simply going to say, job's done.
Job's done.
Job's done.
Job's done.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.